Now, for a short challenge, I'd like to take you to another verse in Exodus chapter 4. I'd like to speak to you on this thought. What has God placed in our hands? Exodus chapter 4. We're all familiar with this passage. This is where God is speaking to Moses. He approached the area where he's seen the burning bush, and God speaks to him out of the bush. God reveals to Moses His plan for Moses. And as we start in verse 1, it says, "And Moses answered and said, But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, The Lord hath not appeared unto thee." And in verse 2 is where we'll take the thought from. "And the Lord said unto him, What is that in thine hand? And he said, A rod." What is that in thine hand? Moses, in verse 1, is giving an argument to the Lord why he can't. "Well, they just won't believe me. They won't listen." In another area of Scripture, we find he uses the argument, "Well, Lord, I'm just not able to speak. I believe I can use that argument concerning Swahili. It's coming slowly. Lord, what are you doing calling me to Tanzania? They speak a foreign language there. I do well to speak English. Grammar was my worst subject in school. How am I going to learn another language?" But how often do we do that in our lives with things that we're hanging on to in the secret areas of our lives that we don't want to let go? "Lord, you can have this part of my life and this part and this part, and I'll serve you here. But you know what? This area, Lord, it's hands off. It's mine." Well, then we're not being a complete living sacrifice for the Lord, are we? As Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy unto the Lord." And it's to be our reasonable service. Notice in that verse it says reasonable service. If Christ can die for us, it just stands to reason we can live for Him. We didn't have to die and bear our sins. You know, be honest, you can think of a lot of gruesome ways to die and to be tortured. But if you really study what took place during the crucifixion and the beating that would have killed most men before that he endured, it was my sin that nailed him there. Is it so much to ask that I live for him? I don't have to die. He gives me an opportunity to live and to glorify Him. That's just reasonable. That's all He asks of us. And Moses is giving an argument why he can't. And you know what? Can't never could. That's not proper English. But can't never could. When we get in that negative mindset, we're never going to accomplish anything for God. And oftentimes, God has to do with us like He's done with Moses. Moses, what is that in thine hand? And Moses said, a rod. Now let's focus on that rod for a minute. That rod at that time, stop and think. Moses is now 80 years old. Praise the Lord, Pastor. He didn't wait till I was 80 years old to call me to the mission field. It had better been an English speaking field by then. But stop and think about it. He's 80 years old. He's no longer a prince of Egypt in any position of power. He's a lowly shepherd. You know, shepherds weren't thought of as being very much back at that time. And he's a lowly shepherd on the backside of a desert the last 40 years so that God could remove everything that he was putting his trust in before. And with all that wiped clean, now Moses is using the argument, I'm not worth anything. I can't do anything. I can't speak. All I am is a lowly shepherd. This rod that is in my hand, God, represents who I am. This rod is just used to tend the flocks of my father-in-law. I don't have nothing to offer you. That's exactly where we need to be in a mindset when we come before the Lord. Not trusting in anything that we have or any ability that we have, because it's God that's given it to us in the first place. And that rod in the hand of Moses was nothing more than a shepherd's rod. But notice what he says in verse 3. And he, God, said, cast it on the ground. We already have the background. Moses has approached God. Remember what God told Moses as Moses approached the burning bush? Take off thy shoes, for the place thou standest is holy ground. It's as if he's there before a holy and righteous God, and it's as if there's an altar there. So in essence, God is saying, Moses, take what you're hanging on to, surrender it to me and lay it on the altar. Give it to me, Moses. And so Moses doesn't hesitate, says he cast it on the ground, and he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. The rod in Moses' hand was nothing more than a shepherd's rod. The moment Moses surrenders it to God, God shows him it can be an instrument of deliverance. God changes it to a serpent, and Moses fled from before it. Amen, Moses. I've had my encounter with a few African snakes. All that I want to encounter. I don't like to handle snakes, poisonous or non-poisonous. So I'd have fled before it too. Notice what the Lord asked him to do next. And the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thine hand and take it by the tail. That's a tremendous step of faith. I'm not grabbing any snake by the tail, head, or any other part of the body. I will sever the head with the shovel or shoot it off with a gun or something of that nature. But I don't want to handle them. The point is this. The rod in Moses' hand was nothing more than a shepherd's staff. God reveals to Moses that what he has is surrendered to him, it becomes an instrument of deliverance. We all know the story. How many of the plagues was that rod used directly against the nation of Egypt? It was a rod that Moses raised to part the Red Sea for the people of Israel to walk across on dry land. Not muddy. It was dry. What is it that we're hanging on to? What areas of our life that we just don't release to the Lord? Parents, have we surrendered our children completely, wholeheartedly to the Lord? You know, I can stand here and because I'm having to experience it. And I shared a little bit this morning on not understanding completely the cost, in counting the cost. And we go back for our second term, and I leave my oldest daughter behind, 10,000 miles away, our firstborn. We first started this process. That thought never occurred in my mind, but the time is drawing near. She'll be in God's hands, better His than mine. But at a young age, Lisa and I, at their young ages, we were younger too. We surrendered our children to the Lord. From there, it's our job to teach and train them and help them in their development so they are receptive to what the Lord has for them. Because they reach a point where Alicia's at. And she's now a young adult. Mommy and Daddy's not going to be able to make decisions for her. She's going to make decisions, and she'll reap the consequences of those decisions if they're wrong decisions. That's life. That's the way it is. But as parents, are we willing to surrender our children completely and wholly to the Lord? Or do we want to say, Lord, you can have my children to serve in a local church, but I don't want them going to a mission field or going into the ministry full time. That may take them too far away from me. Well, you know, partial surrender is no surrender at all. Partial obedience is no obedience at all. God says, take what's in thine hand. Take the things that you're hanging on to, whether it be our jobs, our children, or some other vice that has a hold of us, that is holding us back, And I'm not talking about things that are necessarily sinful, just things that are beginning to occupy too much of our time and taking away from the opportunity of the Lord doing great and mighty things in our lives. Things that the Lord's dealing with us on, and the Holy Spirit is gently prodding us and saying, you know what? You need to let this go. God has better things in store. The Lord wants to do great and mighty things through you. Just surrender what you're hanging on to. Moses surrendered it. In God's hand, the rod was a rod of deliverance. Two other examples, very quickly, that I want to share of things. Go to Judges chapter 3, verse 31. One verse on this judge in the whole book of Judges. And after him was Shamgar, the son of Anath, which slew of the Philistines 600 men with an ox goad, and he also delivered Israel. Wow, think about that. An ox goad, a long pointed stick. It's obvious Shamgar was not a warrior. He was not a soldier, a trained soldier. But yet, his faith was in the Lord, and what was in his hand was surrendered to the Lord. And he slew 600 Philistines. Now, I spent 4 years in the Marine Corps. I remember when this down here was up here. And I was in the best shape of my life. And, you know, I've looked at this verse and I've tried to imagine, you know what, if I was in the best strategic position, in the best condition of my life, could I handle 600 soldiers coming at me, even if they had to come at me one at a time, how long could I hold out? With adrenaline rushing and the best physical condition I was in, I dare say I wouldn't come close to physically standing up to 600 men. Stop and think what a miracle that was. And the Scriptures give no indication what kind of position he had. They might have been coming at him from all angles instead of in a narrow area one at a time. But his trust was in his God. And what he had in his hand, he yielded to God, and God used it in a mighty way. One last example, John chapter 6. We're all familiar with the story here. Let's start in verse 1. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, or to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. You understand what we just read here? They've seen Jesus perform many miracles and heal the sick. And yet Philip's still looking at the circumstances they find themselves in when Christ says, where are we going to find food? Where are we going to find food for them? I mean, how much more you need? The crippled are walking. The blind are healed. They see. Leprosy is being removed. What else you need to see? One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? Again, the same thing, looking at the circumstances. And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost.
Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten.
A little boy, 5 barley loaves, 2 small fishes. Not loaves of bread, 5 crackers, 2 small fishes, not even big fresh tilapia. 5,000 men, not counting women and children, neighborhood of some 15,000 people. You know, I read that passage over and over and over, and I try to comprehend how Christ done that. How did 5 crackers and 2 small fishes multiply? How is it that it could just keep being distributed and not diminishing? And how is it there were 12 basketfuls taken up? A little boy took, and in looking at the situation, it wasn't much. Most of us, I dare say, would have thought, you know what, it's not even worth offering it. It's not worth the time. It's not going to make a difference. But see, this little boy, like Moses' mother, looked beyond the circumstances because he had seen the miracles. And said, you know what I have isn't much, but I'll give it to the Messiah and see what he can do with it. And Christ said, thank you very much. Little is much when God is in it. He performs perhaps the greatest, some believe the greatest miracle in the Bible. I sit and I ponder that passage and try to think, how in the world did the Lord perform that? I know when I get to heaven, that's one question I want to ask Him. Lord, how did you do that? Could you repeat it for me? God is just asking us, children, the things that you're holding back from me, will you lay it on the altar and give it to me? Will you make yourself a complete sacrifice to me, living sacrifice to me, and allow me to do great and mighty things through you? Parents, will you give your children wholeheartedly to the Lord without no conditions, no strings attached? And will each and every one of us give ourselves wholeheartedly to the Lord with no strings attached? See, you don't have to be a young person to go to the mission field. I used to think 50 was old. I don't anymore. But if He can use me at my age on the mission field, and He can use Moses at the age of 80 to deliver a nation out of bondage, imagine what great and mighty things awaits those that the Lord is calling but haven't been willing to totally surrender yet. What is it that is in thine hand? God says, lay it at the altar, and I will show thee great and mighty things. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come before Your throne, Lord, we know that You are an awesome God and a God that delights to answer the prayers of His children, a God that wants to do great and mighty things through us. And as You speak to our hearts and point out things in our lives that we haven't surrendered to You completely, maybe at one time they were surrendered, but we've kind of taken hold of them again. Father, may we as Your children be willing to be obedient and fully surrender to Your will for our lives, that You may do great and mighty things through us. Have Your way now, for it is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Pastor?
Thank you, Ray, for another great challenge from God's Word. Brother Dave is going to come and lead us in our closing hymn. Let us reaffirm those things in our hearts and lives that we've heard. May the Lord bless you. Pray for Brother Ray and his family. They'll be traveling to Melbourne now and preaching tonight. So they need strength. And just pray for safety as